The fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
I'm holding in my hand a printout from the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta and the FDA. And you know what it says? The FDA has approved live Ebola virus to be injected into you via vaccines. What would you do if you knew for a fact that live Ebola was inside of this dumpster? You'd call the CDC. You'd call the media. You'd call the police. You'd call the health department, wouldn't you? But what would you do if the government and the UN was coming to inject you with live Ebola virus? Well, you'd probably go into Stockholm syndrome or learned helplessness and roll your sleeve up, kind of like the poor Jews that ran into those pits in World War II, and the Nazis would shoot them and more Jews would run in behind them because they didn't want to get shot. But they got shot because they followed orders. We're not following orders. You see, ladies and gentlemen, my grandmother, who just died a few years ago at 92, got polio in the mid-1950s when my mother was just a little girl. And her doctor told her that she got it from the live polio vaccine that she was given. She was given one strain. A few months later, took another strain. And a week later, got paralyzed. They had to get her ready for an iron lung. She almost died, and she was crippled and on crutches until the day she died with incredible pain. Now, it's a fact that a lot of people got polio from the polio vaccine. That's in the history books. It's a fact that thousands died of the swine flu vaccine in the 1970s. But now they try to say safe and effective, no one's ever been hurt, even though there's a giant multi-billion dollar a year payout from a secret vaccine damage fund set up in the mid-1980s. So here's the news. Remember last year in 2019? No one else was covering it but InfoWars. Thousands of Africans being brought in from Ebola-stricken Congo who were flying to Mexico and then coming across the border, and Soros groups were picking them up, delivering them to vans in San Antonio to be driven all over the United States. No green card, no background, no medical checks, no nothing. And now Ebola has popped up in the Caribbean. It's reportedly popped up inside the U.S., but it's been kept on the down low, and the people have been taken to the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta. But here's the rest of the news. Now they want to inject you with a live Ebola virus, but don't worry, they have genetically modified it, and it can mutate, and it can spread, but they're just saying, be good little guinea pigs and trust them, ladies and gentlemen. This is how you get the rise of other superviruses. And all of us are being treated like guinea pigs. And this isn't some science fiction movie. It's not 28 Days Later. It's not a zombie flick. This is America and the world in 2020. And they tested this and other vaccines out in Africa, and they're having the biggest outbreaks they've ever had. And the locals run from the vaccinators, saying they believe they're getting it from the medical workers. A lot of people in Africa are getting HIV, have never had sex, and it's been traced back to the vaccines as well. So we know there's eugenics programs, just like putting syphilis in vaccines and giving it to black people here in the U.S. with the Tuskegee experiment. This is incredibly dangerous, and they are definitely gearing up for an Ebola false flag. And if other vaccines a lot of times trigger outbreaks, will this trigger Ebola outbreaks in the United States? Gardasil killed a bunch of people as well. They're still pushing that. So now get ready for Ebola in your vaccine. So roll up your sleeves and get ready to have a lot of fun. Trust Big Pharma and take your Ebola shot. It's no big deal. Live Ebola is good for you. This live experimental Ebola vaccine does not belong in your body. It belongs in the garbage.
And you can
thank you for everything you've done for the InfoWar, but I know you're like me. You don't want my thanks. You want victory over the globalists and these devil-worshipping child molesters, and you want them off your back and off your children's back. And you know what? I'm the same way, and that's why we're on the same damn team. And it's why InfoWars has been delivering time and time again when it's clutch time to focus the people on taking action against the globalists, because I'm committed to a future for humanity. And I know you are as well. So thank you in 2019 for standing with us, because you are the InfoWar, and I want to thank you for committing to stand with us in 2020.
Mm-hmm. gentlemen.
This is the InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer, with you for the next 3 hours at InfoWars.com/show and band.video. What's the biggest story today? Well, you've got the deep state looking to increase U.S. presence in the Middle East, of course, on the heels of what happened in Baghdad at the U.S. Embassy, which, of course, has Barack Obama's fingerprints, John Kerry's fingerprints, the deep state's fingerprints all over it. Is it Democrats now admitting what we already knew, what we reported first? The plan to impeach the president started before he was even inaugurated. Yes, you have top Democrats admitting that. How about Joe Biden? Well, it wasn't enough for Joe Biden to lick or suck on his wife's finger at a campaign event. No, that's what happened, or he bit it, whatever you want to say. He put it in his mouth and bit it, sucked on it. Very awkward. Then he went on to talk about bouncing children up and down on his leg in a pool because they used to rub his blonde leg hair. Very strange. Then he openly hit on a 15-year-old, basically tried to do a pickup line on a 15-year-old girl at a campaign event. You might ask yourself, what can Joe Biden do next? It's almost like a game that we're following. Well, you won't believe what Joe Biden did next. How about now doing a pickup line on an 11-year-old? You won't believe it till you see it and hear it, but we have the video. And in fact, I just want to make sure, guys, the audio in this is really, really low. So we need to make sure that when we need to boost the hell out of that audio whenever we go to it. You have the Jeffrey Epstein sex trafficking network, where he was operating as at least a triple agent, still operating, and Ghislaine Maxwell reportedly hiding out in Israel. So we've seen a lot of conflicting reports on that, but how is it she is not being detained and questioned? Then you have, on nationalfile.com, we're going to be joined by Tom Papert at 4 o'clock to discuss this. Reddit user reportedly admits murdering elderly Trump supporters in nursing home. So that's a very peculiar thing we'll talk about with Tom Papert at 4 o'clock. I also have Leo Zagami joining me at 3:30. We will be talking about the weird behavior of the Pope with the people touching his hand and him just being very erratic and even slapping a woman's hand. Just very strange behavior. Leo Zagami joining us. And then also Jesse Lee Peterson in the third hour. Always informative and entertaining. So that is coming up for the next 3 hours. And Alex Jones is going to be joining us in the next segment. So all of that is coming up. But if you were listening to the first 5 minutes of the War Room, we were playing a report, and I didn't even mention that story as a top story today, but, you know, forced vaccinations, medical tyranny. Now they're putting live Ebola viruses in vaccines that they want to eventually roll out to stop Ebola. It's one thing, you spread Ebola to stop Ebola. That's 2 + 2 = 5. But you may have noticed that with about 30 seconds left of that segment, I turned my microphone on and I began yapping over the report. I obviously caught it quickly and turned it off. But, you know, I realized, you know, why am I not focused here as the host? Why am I cutting into my report? Why are we cutting into reports that are airing? What is wrong with me? That is so amateur hour. And then it hit me. I hadn't taken my brain force yet. And it's true. And I hadn't. So in that 60-second break, I took the Brain Force Plus with the Turbo Force from InfoWarsStore.com. And as you can tell, I'm not fumbling and bumbling over reports anymore and won't be with some of the great video clips we have coming up today. But I don't hide the fact that Brain Force Plus and Turbo Force, also the VasoBeat Complete. I always forget to mention that one, because it kind of seems like secondary to Brain Force Plus and Turbo Force, but it is just as important. That is my trifecta. That is my trifecta energy drink at 3 o'clock every day. And I didn't take it at 3. I took it at 3:05 today. So for the first 5 minutes, I was amateur hour. But now we've got the Brain Force Plus in the system. We've got the Turbo Force in the system. And we've got the Beat Essence, the VasoBeat Complete Formula, all from InfoWarsStore.com. It's all in the system, so I'm ready to go for the next 3 hours. Plus, I'll have plenty of energy after that to probably go work out at the gym tonight. So you can go to InfoWarsStore.com, folks. Take advantage right now. All the products I just mentioned are 60% off. The VasoBeat Complete, the Brain Force Plus, and the Turbo Force, all 60% off at InfoWarsStore.com right now. Take advantage of these sales. You have, 4 days left now? 4 days left. 4 days left for these deep discounts, up to 75% off some of the supplements. But a lot of them 50% off, a lot of them 60% off, a lot of combo packs where there's really deep discounts as well. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com. While you're there looking at all the great specials on the supplement, check out the t-shirts, check out the hats, all the other apparel that we have, hoodies, coffee mugs. We've got air filters, water filters. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com. And you hear when we open the phone lines, people call in and say how much they love the bone broth, how much they love the Super Blue toothpaste, how much they love the Survival Shield X2 nascent iodine. So we appreciate you shopping at InfoWarsStore.com. What is that? When did we get George Washington socks? Hold on, pull that up. See, like, we have stuff that... The store at InfoWarsStore.com is so big, I don't even know what's going on half the time. We have George Washington socks. Why don't I own a pair of these? What the hell is wrong with me? I'm not even kidding you. I've wanted to sell socks because all socks are made in China. I've wanted to sell, like, I've wanted to do a whole branding thing. To sell socks. Like, why don't we just sell socks? It's the same thing that all the other brands sell, just made in America. And instead of the other brand logo, you just put like an American flag logo on it or something. There's George Washington on a sock at InfoWarsStore.com. I didn't even know it was there. So let's sell socks. How many pairs of socks can we sell in the next 3 hours? That's my challenge today. So get to InfoWarsStore.com and buy the George Washington socks. Because I'm going to do it. I'm telling you, I didn't even know we had these socks. Can I get a little, scroll down, guys. Let me get the deets on these socks right here, on these beauties. Walk with the blessings of the founding fathers and show your status as an American history buff with these George Washington socks. Comfortable and stylish, these socks make a perfect gift or addition to any patriot's closet that's looking to make a statement. We need to broadcast true Americana everywhere we go to shut down globalist censorship. Now, even if you can't wear our shirts or hats, you can still celebrate your American pride with every step. It's the George Washington socks at InfoWarsStore.com. How I didn't know about these, why I don't own a pair, I'm blaming the crew. I blame the crew. You guys should have told me about these George Washington socks as soon as they came out so that we could be selling these things and then so I could wear them on air. I should be wearing these socks right now. I'm kind of mad I'm not. All right, Alex Jones joining us on the other side. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Get your George Washington socks right now.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Free shipping store-wide. right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Oh, just a friendly walk in the park. And out of nowhere, bam. We've got some political news. President Trump has a massive fourth quarter, $46 million raised. Bernie Sanders tops out the Democrat Party with nearly $35 million raised. Trump raised over $100 million this year. Biden, with a paltry $23 million in the fourth quarter compared to Sanders. But isn't it? It is fitting Sanders raises the most money as a good socialist communist, taking your money, spending it on himself. But I'm wondering how many out there listening to this that are obviously politically informed, following the bouncing ball, how many even know about the Democrat presidential debates that are coming up? One coming up in Iowa, one coming up in Nevada. Most people don't even know. I couldn't even tell you the dates. I think there's one in Iowa the 18th, Nevada like February 5th maybe or something like that. Maybe the crew can pull it up. The point is they've become so irrelevant, nobody's even paying attention anymore. Now, someone who's been a guest on the show before who's done political activism, Benjamin Hill, is attempting to get a pro-Trump rally at the Democrat debate in Las Vegas. Guys, go back up. You just skipped over it. Right there. There it is. A little more down. Nope. 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 Pew. There it is. So February 19th, Las Vegas. January 14th, Iowa. You got New Hampshire in between there. February 7th. February 25th, South Carolina. It's easy to get into these things and troll these people. But again, these are kind of irrelevant. But hey, why not take it over for political activism? The point is, the Democrats are kind of lost right now. Bernie Sanders doesn't actually want to be president, and the Democrats will never nominate him to be president. So what do you do if Bernie Sanders really is leading the way as you get closer to nomination time? You can't nominate Biden. You can't nominate Sanders. You can't possibly go with Warren. So what are you doing at this point? Are you looking at a booty judge who had a lot of fundraising? Are you looking at a Yang who's kind of steadying in popularity but still fundraising pretty well? And now Trump is planning rallies during all these Democrat debates. It's beautiful. So Trump will be in Wisconsin January 14th while the Democrats are on air debating with themselves how to get Trump out of office. Now, we played Joe Biden hitting on a 15-year-old girl the other day. You've also had multiple protesters confronting Joe Biden about his perverted touching of children. Talking about bouncing him on his lap, playing with his leg hairs. This is real stuff. And you think, well, how can old creepy Uncle Joe get any creepier than that? Well, folks, listen to clip 18, Joe Biden at his last campaign event.
How old are you, honey? You're 11 years old. Talk to me before we leave, okay?
No, let it play again. Go ahead. Call it creepy uncle.
How old are you, honey? You're 11 years old. Talk to me before we leave, okay? How old?
I mean, folks, can you imagine?
Talk to me before we leave, okay?
Yeah, I mean, you just let this run repeat. It's like 5 seconds.
You're 11 years old. Talk to me before we leave, okay? How old are you, honey? You're 11 years old. Talk to me before we leave, okay?
Look at that lady's eyes right in the bottom left corner. She's kind of like, wait, what did he say?
Talk to me before we leave, okay?
Oh, my God. And they all clap. They clap. Can you imagine? Hey there, honey. You said you're 11? You want to have a drink after this? Woo, ha, ha, ha.
You're 11 years old. Talk to me before we leave, okay?
All right. So I don't even know how to really, I mean, how do you even call that play? That's unknown territory right there. That's going into the unknown. Former vice president and presidential candidate Joe Biden openly hits on 11-year-old girl at campaign rally. I mean, how do you, what do I? And you say, well, that's so ridiculous. That's what just happened. I'm at a loss here. But there you go. What's next, Joe? Joe, I mean, that girl in that picture, what? She's probably about 9. So what's next for old Joe? Oh, my gosh. But seriously, what is the deal with that? Has he suffered from so many neurological problems that he doesn't even have like a self-governor in his mind anymore to say, hey, don't hit on that child, Joe. You're not in private. Hey, Joe, you're not on Epstein Island. Don't hit on that 11-year-old girl. I mean, what the? All right. You try to move on from that to more Democrat madness. So, yeah. InfoWars told you Joe Biden was a pervert and creep and touched little kids. People said, oh, stop it, conspiracy theorists. And then all the videos went viral and they hit on teenage girls at his campaign events. Now he's trying to pick up 11-year-olds. Oh, quit saying that. That's madness. That's what he just did. But now here's Al Green admitting again what InfoWars has been telling you for years now, that the Democrat impeachment process of President Trump began before he was even inaugurated. Here's my friend, Al Green, on MSNBC last night.
Which those are two charges that have been leveled against Democrats during this.
By the way,
entire,
you know what? Just pause it real quick and just pause it real quick and rewind this because. I got time. I've met both of these, quote unquote, men. And I say that with Chris Hayes lightly. These are fops. Okay? Intellectual midgets. And there's this whole thing. They're unapproachable. You can't talk to them. They're bigger than you. They're royalty. They're on television. No, Chris Hayes is a joke. Al Green is an idiot. And Al, I think you're a friend, but you call me a racist all day long and you try to incite a violence against me. So you're an idiot, dude. But here's Al Green admitting what we all knew.
Which those are two charges that have been leveled against Democrats during this entire affair, particularly since September when the formal impeachment inquiry started. And you play a starring role in those charges. I mean, the argument goes like this of House Republicans and Trump and his allies, the president and his allies, is basically the Democrats wanted to impeach Donald Trump from day one. They cast about looking for a set of facts that they could plausibly use to do it, and all of it was pretextual and reverse engineered to get to this point. Exhibit one, Congressman Al Green, who's been calling for the man's impeachment for 2 years now. What's your response to that charge?
Well, the genesis of impeachment, to be very candid with you, was when the president was running for office.
Oh, before he was even elected. Funny, isn't it? But which, by the way, before any Russian collusion, before any Ukrainian quid pro quo, before any alleged obstruction of justice, they were already trying to figure out how to impeach him. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know right there.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
It's Leo Zagami time. You know what that means. You know what that means, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Leo, I actually, before we get into the big news here with the Pope really just behaving erratically, it kind of seemed demon-possessed, to be quite frank, in the video, which we're going to get your commentary on here. But first off, Leo, apparently you just got banned from Facebook, I'm told, for posting an InfoWars video, Savannah Hernandez getting shoved off of a ledge, a video that's had millions of views now. So I actually want to say thank you to Facebook for finally doing something about violence against women. And so it's nice for Facebook to admit that that woman assaulted Savannah Hernandez and was violent against her. And so now they have removed that video from your account. Wow.
Well, they blocked me, and basically they didn't really give me an explanation. They just started to ask
me. No, Leo, I just gave you the explanation. Come on. It's not about the fact that it shows how Trump protesters are all insane and violent and assault women. No. They're trying to protect the world from seeing violence against women, Leo. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I created this backup page called Infomania Wars a few months ago with some other fellow patriots. We were running it, and we started to get a lot of people on this profile after posting this video of Savannah. And it's like the day after, we were all taken off the administration of this page, which now is going to lie stagnant, because they started to ask me first a document, then the evidence of who I was. And in the end, it's like I need to provide them some kind of statement from my lawyer to get back this.
Or maybe like a sample of your DNA. That might work, too. Or your social security number, something like that.
I don't know. It's really we are living in an increasing Orwellian world. And the violence against women was actually the excuse that also is connecting us with what happened with Pope Francis, because he talked about the violence against women and then himself started slapping a woman on New Year's Eve. So I guess this kind of violence is typical of people who are demonically possessed, like the person who is pushing now down.
Oh my gosh. So there it is. There's the video that they blocked on Facebook. Now the real reason is they don't want people to see how violent and hate-filled these Trump protesters are, these impeach Trump rally protesters. But Leo, let's get to the Pope now though. So this is very strange.
And the Pope is violent himself. It's just acting like the libtard we saw against Saab.
Well, that's what I want to get your take on here, because I mean, you follow the Pope. You report on the Pope. You've been following just events in the Vatican for a long time. And so how strange is this behavior from the Pope? I've never seen a Pope behave like this again. He kind of seems demonic possessed, like the way he's ripping his hand away, like the look in his eye. He slaps this woman. You can tell he's not filled with the love of Christ. So Leo, how do you analyze this behavior?
Well, for Bishop René Rigracida, who is the Bishop Emeritus of the Diocese of Corpus Christi in Texas, this is actually will mark the downfall of Pope Francis, because he's pushing away somebody who could well be a Chinese Christian, and Chinese Christians are being persecuted. Also, members of the more underground Catholic Church are still being persecuted. Now, we don't really know the identity of this woman yet, because strangely enough, nobody has checked later on this woman. There is a security protocol in place at the Vatican, both for the Italian police and for the Vatican police. Every time somebody gets so close to the Pope, you have to question her. You have to ask their documents, whoever they are. So it's very strange this has happened, and nobody now seems to be able to trace this Chinese-looking woman which made this provocatory act, let's say, because she just talked in English to the Pope, apparently saying, "I just want to tell you something." That's it. That was enough. But the Pope reacted in such a bad way that Bishop René Henri Gracida is saying, and this is quoted from his blog, that he called her bitch. And sorry the word, but I mean, this is a bishop. In his, I made it public with my latest article, you can see it. That is actually what you're showing now, is the article dedicated to Matteo Salvini, who then reenacted yesterday morning during his time with his girlfriend on a skiing resort, reenacted the whole thing, pretending to be Pope Francis, but with a different reaction, a really Christian one, which is should have been the same reaction Pope Francis was expected to give. So now Bishop Gracida says that my only predictions for Hatch 2020 is that the Asian woman beating scandal, which is now being called the Brujaya, Brohaha, will go down in history as the beginning of the end of the Bergoglian anti-papacy. Remember, this is a bishop, a retired bishop, but is still a Catholic bishop who is making this statement earlier today from his blog.
And you know, so, it really, Leo, this is actually ironic if this would really be the end of Pope Francis, this, not all the pedophile stuff, not all the covering up of the pedophile stuff, not all the bones found in the Vatican, which, I mean, not necessarily has anything to do with Pope Francis, not all the gay orgies that were happening, not all the other scandals, but this one moment. And, you know, I kind of just want to use this as an opportunity to explain something. When you're in a position like the Pope is in, or you're a political leader or what have you, you have to have extreme patience and understanding, which sometimes for me takes some time. And that's why I've always felt like being in a position like that, I felt like there were people better, because the Pope needs to understand he doesn't know who that woman is. Like you said, Leo, that woman could be from China being persecuted. That woman could have cancer and is dying. She could have a daughter or son dying of cancer, just desperately seeking for something. And to get that response, it would be crushing for her on a personal level, seeing the Pope do that. Yeah. But then it would be crushing as well. Like, wow, if I'm looking for a sign from God and this is what I get from the Pope, my goodness. And then the lack of a appropriate response from the Pope. I mean, oh, an apology. No, invite that woman to the Vatican and her family. I mean, really? So my point is, it's like you have to be in the utmost awareness sense and state of mind when you're such a political figure or a religious figure and a leader like this. And for him to be so obtuse in the way he approaches these sessions, and we've seen other videos now, with hands and ripping his hand away and giving people evil looks. But it is ironic to me, Leo, that this would be something marked as the beginning of the end for this Pope instead of all the pedophile scandals or the gay sex orgy scandals.
Well, it's a very important symbolic move, especially on New Year's Eve, especially in a moment in which the Pope is actually talking in his homily about being close to the people who are poor, who are persecuted in society, and then you are simply treating somebody in that way. Well, it's not really consistent with one's faith, and shows the anti-papacy of this Pope, but also the Jesuit in this Pope, which is somebody who is capable to reverse the whole thing in his favor yesterday and announce publicly in St. Peter's Square that he was apologizing to this woman and that nobody should act like he acted, because, you know, he's like everybody else. He simply, you know, failed. He had a lack of reason.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That wasn't acting. You could see that was genuine. He had genuine hate and anger, which, again, he shouldn't ever exhibit as the Pope. And, you know, it's just, again, I always draw comparisons to Pope John Paul II, because I remember as a kid, he came to St. Louis when I was a kid, and Pope John Paul II, I think, is remembered as kind of the last great pope, even. I don't know if you would agree with that, Leo, but I mean, I just remember, you know, his character, the way he carried himself, the way he approached other people was so kind and so patient and so loving. Never in my wildest imagination could I even envision Pope John Paul II behaving like Pope Francis has behaved in some of these videos. It's really shocking stuff. Leo Zagami, he's the expert on everything Vatican. So we'll get more on this, updates on what's being said inside the Vatican in response to this. Is this really the end of Pope Francis?
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Just because Leo Zagami has the best accent on live broadcasting doesn't mean he's not a patriot. And so I know that Leo Zagami went to InfoWarsStore.com and saw the George Washington socks, and he wanted them on rush delivery, folks. I'm not going to lie. He was demanding the crew in the break get him the George Washington socks pronto. And so we're working on it, Leo. We're going to get you those George Washington socks. They would only look as cool as they possibly could on your feet. And so there they are, Leo.
This is a year where we need to state our belonging to, and our belonging to the good side of history. And that's why these socks are so meaningful.
And plus, they want to try to erase these historical figures out of our history books, out of our textbooks, out of our history in general, or you know, bash them as like, figures of hate. And so, no, No, that's not what they are. They're now figures on a sock, and we sell it at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, Leo Zagami, let's think about this, though. Do you really think this is the beginning of the end for Pope Francis, or is this just more negative press, more negativity while he's the Pope that's just eventually going to get swept under the rug and forgotten?
Well, I think that this might be the year that finally we see him resign. But also this past year was, as we all know, a year that seen once again the persecution of Christians and the persecution of Catholics with even the Church of Notre Dame going on fire. You remember we reported on it. Christianity is being attacked. And this Pope is part of this of the problem because he's not defending the Christian values. He's actually showing to the world that he is antithetical to these Christian values. And that's why he's being criticized by a large number of bishops also here in the United States that would like to depart from the Church of Rome. That means a possible schism in the near future. But I would like to mention the fact that we are in front of a persecution of Christianity, and also this was the first time in history since the French Revolution that in the Notre Dame Cathedral, we had no mass. Why having no mass in the Notre Dame Cathedral? I mean, they could have at least done a small mass, even amongst the ruins that they are putting back together. It would have been symbolic. But it is instead rather more symbolic, the fact that after such a long time, we don't have mass. And only 5%, for example, of people in France go to Sunday mass. Here in the United States, we have a much closer feeling to towards Christianity, something that is being lost in Europe, also in Italy, I must say, where they show up to mass only for Christmas time or on New Year's Eve.
When you mentioned that, I was actually telling the crew to find this video. And again, I bring it back to John Paul II, because that was just like the last great pope that I can recall. And he came to St. Louis. He did all kinds of stuff. I mean, it was unbelievable how much just public outreach he did, just making himself available. But he had an event at the time. It was the TWA Dome. It's a big dome in St. Louis. And I mean, there had to be close to 100,000 people in that dome, Leo. And the Pope, they allowed every person who was interested to line up and actually get to greet the Pope. And he sat there. And I remember this thing took hours. I mean, hours and hours and hours. Because I remember as a kid, I'm impatient. You know, I'm like, I want to get out of here. I don't, you know, I'm waiting for all this. But you see Pope Francis and the selfishness, the arrogance, it's all about me, it's all about my time, versus Pope John Paul II, who I see exhibiting no selfishness, total selflessness, wanting everybody to feel included and loved when he greets them. I mean, I think we're in this time, and this is kind of a bigger picture thing too, Leo, where evil or demonic possession or, you know, the true hate-filled people are really taking the mask off, whether it's intentional or not, whether it's conscious or not. They're taking the mask off, and they're exposing themselves. And I think that's kind of what this event with Pope Francis slapping the woman's hand is. I think that's what Joe Biden hitting on 11-year-old girls at his campaign events are. All the other weirdness, they're calling for the guns, they want to force vaccine. I mean, to me, this is the revealing, the mask-off moment of Satan's work.
And don't forget Nancy Pelosi. I
mean, oh, well, how could you? Well, you'd like to, but yeah.
I mean, a complete demon. And also, we have people like Madonna, who are so disfigured that they look like monsters nowadays. So,
well, now, Madonna, now that's a strange case. That's like, she's like 70 years old and like looks like she could kick my ass.
I don't know about that. She's actually been feeling sick in her last live performances because, you see,
she just announce a tour?
Yeah, but she's been feeling sick and she had to cancel because, you see, people like her or Lady Gaga who have embraced evil suddenly feel sick while they go on tour. And I think because they don't have the strength that people like, instead, Kanye West, who has embraced Jesus, have a different kind of strength. And
interesting.
I see it that way. It's definitely sad to see that Pope Francis calls this year for a global education pact, which has nothing to do with religion and everything to do with one word, government, and one word, religion, eventually. So there is traditionalist cardinals, like, for example, Cardinal Burke, who has said that the recent synod for the Amazon is actually a Trojan horse to Protestantize the Catholic Church. And that's also pretty unheard of from such a senior member of the Catholic Church like Cardinal Raymond Burke. So we're living definitely in unprecedented times.
Well, and I think, too, you've hit on another example where, I mean, I happen to like some of Lady Gaga's music and Madonna's music, I'll admit it. So I try to stray away from talking too much trash on these people. But you bring up an interesting point about the energy. And I think it goes beyond just the music industry right now, too, where you use Kanye West as an example versus Madonna. I mean, look at Donald Trump and the energy this man has right now. It's really flabbergasting, quite frankly, versus what you see from a Nancy Pelosi or a Jerry Nadler, dying energy. You can see, I mean, they look like demons, literally. And so I think that that's kind of another element of just the mask, you know, being taken off is also like all this energy that they have. They're being drained of it. Maybe they literally don't have access to the adrenochrome anymore. Did you see Prince Philip? Oh, my gosh, Leo, did you see Prince Philip leaving the hospital? Did you see this?
We have been driven by demons here who are trying to bring off the cliff the whole of mankind. Follow your demon, basically. But I think that in the long run, they are great losers because people can see through their lies, through their deception. I mean, he looks like a zombie.
I mean, look at that. I couldn't make that face if I tried.
It's pretty scary. I mean, he could do definitely a good Frankenstein. I mean, definitely.
He wouldn't even have to try. They wouldn't even need makeup for that deal.
But we have reached a new demonic invasion stage for mankind in 2020. So, like you said, they will show more of their faces out in the open, without hiding them anymore. It's like an apocalyptic show that is coming out in the open. So let's keep on watching them as they manifest, as demons and show who they really are.
So real quick, we got 90 seconds left. What were you saying? Okay, so you were saying that Bishop Raymond Burke, what was he saying about the Pope again?
Well, basically, he's using the recent Amazon Synod, which I've talked about also in my book, Volume 4 of My Confessions, which has just been released, as a Trojan horse to Protestantize the church, and also as a push for one world government. I mean,
is he the only archbishop that's kind of standing against globalism right now, like vocally?
No, there is many, but he is definitely one of the most important because of his past roles in the Catholic Church. He's a senior member. I mean, one of the most important bishops we have here in the United States.
Well, I know personally of his work. He was the Archbishop of St. Louis for 4 years. So, I mean, I've actually met him before.
Well, I mean, I'm glad to hear that because he's definitely an outspoken prelate who is calling for a more orthodox understanding of Catholicism because he says that basically this Pope, plain and simple, is an heretic. Well, he's not yet saying that.
Raymond Burke is a Catholic and Francis is a Jesuit. All right, Leo Zagami, just great stuff as always, folks. Follow his work, leozagami.com is where you can follow his great reporting and read his books. I don't know how many books he's written, but they're all great. They're at InfoWarsStore.com. He's a great author as well. Leo, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you. God bless and Happy New Year.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer at InfoWars.com/show.
The globalists are desperate to derail Donald Trump's already successful foreign policy of pulling our troops out of the Middle East and focusing more on China and their expansion in the South China Sea. Now, the U.S. embassy got attacked by Iranian-backed militias, Hezbollah, in the last 24 hours, overran a lot of the Green Zone embassy. And CNN and others are traitorously, as usual, calling them protesters. Protesters that are burning and attacking people. The first line of Iraqi police that guard the embassy stood down. But it had to be Matthew Tiller, the U.S. ambassador, or whoever is under him, his adjunct, that gave the order to stand down. And that's what we really need to focus on. History is repeating itself. The CIA, or elements of it, in 1979 actually backed the Ayatollah Khomeini coming in and taking over from the Shah because he wasn't taking orders from the West. Now, once they got in, they double-crossed the West and overthrew the U.S. embassy in Tehran, taking hostages. Then that embarrassed Jimmy Carter. You had a failed Delta Force raid, and that was credited with getting Ronald Reagan in 1980. This is just like what happened in 1979 to Carter, and it's just like what happened with the Bay of Pigs. All of this is being done by internal units and groups within the State Department, still run by Soros. That's why we focus on people like Fiona Hill, McMaster, and others. Their subordinates, their adjuncts, their attachés are still in the State Department and are constantly rigging things like this. That's why Trump has to keep special operations raids by Delta Force and others secret even from Congress when he would normally tell the heads of those committees like Intelligence and Armed Services because they leaked the information, not just to the media, but to America's enemies to sabotage foreign policy. Globalism is about sabotaging Western systems and then having a corporate system outside of that that controls the planet. This is a big deal for Trump. He needs to come out. He needs to sack this ambassador, or he needs to find out exactly what's happened and punish whoever stood down. Because it's a real show of weakness to let these people overrun the embassy, engage in this type of terrorist activity, and not be responded to. That is U.S. soil, like your home being stormed by people with weapons, people with knives, people burning things, assaulting, reportedly killing people, and it's being called protest. Now, finally, Iraqi military from outside the base came in and saved U.S. forces. Now, let's be clear. There's a group called SOC that has a contract, private contractor group, to run security for the State Department, but they're under the command of the State Department. So they're calling this Trump's new Benghazi. Trump hasn't stood down on this. If he stood down and withheld aid for 13, 14, 15 hours, that would be a Benghazi. He hasn't done that. This is Iran responding to U.S. airstrikes against their forces that are carrying out military operations inside Iraq yesterday. And this is a direct attack on the United States of America. And as usual, traitors and terrorists inside our government are trying to sabotage the best interests of America and the rest of the world. It is nothing short but absolute outright treason. In closing, we won't be on the air to counter the globalist talking points unless you spread the word about the broadcast and unless you buy the products. And right now is the end of 2019 into 2020. For the next week only, it's the biggest sale, the sellout of everything in the new year. So we're going to pay inventory tax up to 70% off InfoWarsStore.com, store-wide free shipping, and double Patriot points. So again, take action, get great products you need. Sign up for auto ship, an additional 10% off, and fund this critical operation at InfoWarsStore.com.
Okay, we're about to be back here with Tom Papert. But, you know, I got to say, it's just wild. The archbishop that I was just discussing, Raymond Burke, with Leo Zagami, was the archbishop. He came to my confirmation. Isn't that wild? He was literally at my confirmation. I'm going to have my mom dig through photos to try to find me and now Cardinal Raymond Burke, at the time Archbishop Raymond Burke of St. Louis, at my confirmation at St. Genevieve Dubois in 2004. That is just wild stuff. All right, but when we come back, huge breaking news with Tom Papert. This is wild stuff he's about to break. InfoWars War Room. We're into hour two. Tom Papert from National File is about to be joining me. But I have to make sure, Tom, have you ordered or do you already have your George Washington socks from InfoWarsStore.com?
You know, I need to get a pair. I don't quite have the Justin Trudeau level of goofy socks, but I do have a few, and that seems like an exciting one to add to the collection.
Well, we've got to make sure that Tom Papert has his George Washington socks on the next time he comes on the show, because, I mean, just look at the glory of the George Washington socks at InfoWarsStore.com. I mean, that, if I could, if there's any sock that's glorious, it's on InfoWarsStore.com. It's the George Washington sock. So we'll make sure Tom has a pair of those before he comes on air with us next. But in all seriousness, though, this is a pretty big story that you're following here at NationalFile.com. Headline, Reddit user reportedly admits murdering elderly Trump supporters in nursing home. And so let me just kind of put all the angles out here, and then let's get Tom's analysis and breakdown of this story from National File. We're looking at a situation here where you either have a troll that's online promoting this stuff for whatever reason, or maybe just wants to see if he can get a response or get a headline, or you have somebody, a really deranged, sick individual that's messing with elderly people at a nursing home because he either knows or figures there's Trump supporters. And then, and this is why people need not discount this story. It's well known in criminal psychology when you, I mean, if this is some nut job that's actually doing this and has been doing this, it even is in American Psycho at the end when he's trying to tell everybody he's a murdering psychopath, they reach a point psychologically where they have to tell the world what they've done. They can't keep it in anymore. It's basically like self-torture. So could that be what this post is all about? Tom, the story's at National File. What do we know? What are we still investigating?
So the story first broke late last night and early this morning when it was shared to Twitter, a screenshot of this person. The Reddit account was called Love This Life, strangely enough, when somebody shared a screenshot. And it's absolutely disgusting, Owen. If folks haven't seen it, it says, "Hey, I work in a retirement home and care for lots of Trump supporters in their last days. I can tell you with certainty that 11 people, all verified Trump supporters, could have been resuscitated / prevented from falling if I had taken appropriate measures," bragging about killing people. So this was originally posted. Well, it turns out the guy who received the image is a source of ours at National File. So he was able to tell us the context behind this. He had a post that was stickied on the Donald. Some leftists got triggered and sent him a message, this message saying that he has reportedly killed all of these Trump supporters. So the guy was able to send us some background. They sent us the archived history of this user, where he goes on at length over the course of an entire year, Owen, a year's worth of account history, saying, "I hate these people. I hate you bleeping people so much. You deserve the worst of what is coming. Please, GT blank O with the BS. These idiots saw how he lied Trump during the campaign, saw the disrespect he showed. I literally am eating lots of fiber so I can blank on you people so hard." This is a year's worth of history. So the question is this guy a troll or not? Well, I will not repeat the name because we do not have a confirmed identity, but researchers believe they have found the name of this individual and where he works, which is a place called AMN Healthcare. Multiple individuals reached out to AMN Healthcare to see if this is for real. They confirm that they do have said individual listed as an employee, but claim that he does not have access to patients, that he is an administrative person and that he is not a nurse. But then they go on to say that despite this, we take it seriously and we will do an investigation. So National File, we reached out to the same healthcare provider. We did not receive a reply is last time I looked before I came on the show with you today. We also reached out to Reddit to see if it's normal for their users to post this vitriolic garbage. Of course, you're not allowed to post Alex Jones on Reddit. You're not allowed to post anything positive about Trump on Reddit. They're banning the biggest pro-Trump Reddit in the history of, or the biggest pro-Trump community in the history of the president. But apparently you can brag, whether it's truthful or not, we're still not certain, about killing elderly Trump supporters on the platform, and it's A-OK. So as you said, Owen, it is disturbing. It's not 100% confirmed. We know that a person that has been identified by internet researchers does work for this organization. They claim that he does not have the ability to actually commit these crimes, but they're investigating, which raises even more red flags.
Well, and at the very least, it just shows how sick and deranged these people have become to even make posts like this. But, I mean, it's almost a gut blow to sit here and know that the reality is you and your team at National File has to go out and do this research because no one else is. Is there an FBI investigation? Is there a CIA investigation? Is there a NSA investigation? Not that we're aware of. I doubt that anybody's said anything about that to you. And so this is the joke of it all. They list white males and Trump supporters as the number one terror threat in this country. It's an abomination. It's all politically contrived so that they can sit here and say that a Trump hat is a symbol of hate and then censor everyone that wears a Trump hat off the internet or out of a classroom or out of a sporting event. And so that's what they're doing. But the truth is, they're letting deranged people like this go out and put these posts out there with no investigation. Now, let's do some justice here. Let's weigh some things here. Like you said, if you post an Alex Jones video on YouTube, you're likely to get banned immediately. If you are promoting InfoWars on social media, you're likely to get banned immediately. But if you go out and you claim you're killing people in a nursing home, where's the investigation? Where's the call for censorship? Where's any response at all? None. And so this really highlights the complete double standard and the complete fabrication of a quote-unquote terror watch list or the leading cause of terrorism in this country being white men when they refuse to investigate something like this as a potential, I mean, that's a potential serial killer. Again, not confirmed. A simple investigation could confirm this or prove it to be untrue. But again, you don't get that from the CIA or the FBI. They're too busy arresting all Trump people, making sure they're off the internet, ignoring stuff like this.
Well, that's right, Owen. I mean, they're too busy banning people like you, banning people like Alex, banning anybody who ever takes a photo at the studios there. They have their priorities straight. Meanwhile, as you said, it's National File, it's internet researchers, it's our correspondent Gabriel Keane, who got the tip from the source. It's our correspondent Lionel Duquesne, who's actually a South American correspondent, a guy in Chile, of all places, doing the research, putting it together, writing the article, because as you said, law enforcement is not worried. Social media, these big tech platforms are not concerned about this. We had another article on National File not long ago about a 15 or 16 year old girl from Ghana who was being sold as a slave on Instagram. The UN got involved, and what did the government of Kuwait, where this happened, what did they do, you might ask? Well, they didn't do anything with Instagram. Instagram's totally fine. You know, they got rid of all the InfoWars supporters, but you can post human child sex trafficking on there. And the government of Kuwait, they made the alleged human trafficker sign a document saying that he wouldn't do it again. So these big tech platforms certainly have their priorities straight. They're trying to ban any patriots, any populace in the United States of America. Meanwhile, they're allowing alleged potential serial killers to operate with impunity. By the way, this guy deleted his account. He was not banned. He went and hit the delete button. They're allowing alleged serial killers to operate with impunity, and they're allowing the modern slave trade to thrive.
And I mean, again, just to sit here and illustrate the double standard, you can go on to almost all of these social media sites that ban InfoWars content. And I'm not even sitting here attacking the porn industry. I know that it's like a big debate right now. I just, it's kind of just a non-issue for me. But like you can go on there and find porn everywhere. Like, so pornography is InfoWars is worse than porn somehow.
The War Room
Infowars.com/show.
The sound of InfoWars coming to the front gates of the globalist. Welcome back to the InfoWars War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. Tom Papert from National File is with me. We are covering and breaking down the story on National File right now, which is developing, but still some shocking details. Exclusive: Reddit user reportedly admits murdering elderly Trump supporters in nursing home. Now, again, they've done some research into this Reddit account, and they found a name that is linked to the healthcare provider in question. However, the healthcare provider, while investigating this, says this individual didn't have access to the patients. However, still more investigating is done on this. And should this really just sad and diabolical story be accurate, it illustrates what we already know. Now, look, Trump supporters are already being assaulted everywhere. Okay. They're having objects thrown at them. Trump supporters have been stabbed. Trump supporters have been shot. They've been censored. I mean, the real hate is against Trump supporters. The real bigotry is against Trump supporters. And let's say, because so we already know that's going on, but if you do have people that have been so filled with hate that they would try to kill elderly people at a nursing home because they think they're voting for Trump, you have to ask yourself, it's just like any other murder, what is the motive? Well, folks, the motive is mainstream news is telling them to do this. That's what this is all about. So whether or not we can get all the facts straight about this Reddit post bragging about murdering elderly people at a nursing home out to the public, we already know what's happening to Trump supporters. We already know about all the assault and harassment and violence. And again, this story from Breitbart, 639 acts of media-approved violence and harassment against Trump supporters, that's not even close, folks. That's like half, okay? That's like half of the accounts. You can't even count them anymore. It's Don Lemon. It's Anderson Cooper. It's Rachel Maddow. It's Chris Hayes. These are the people that are fomenting this violence. These are the radical leftists. These are the terrorists. So yes, CNN is a terrorist network. 110%. MSNBC is a terrorist network. I'm not going to mince words here. I've been assaulted half a dozen times because of CNN, MSNBC, and the mainstream news in Hollywood lying about me, and I'm damn sick of it. And I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go off on this tirade and start ranting. It's just they're the ones responsible for this. They're the ones starting the terrorism in this country. It's you on the Trump-hating left. And so, Tom, I think this is a perfect moment to, again, bring that issue to light, because we hit on it and then we back off of it because there's so much other stuff happening. No, this is big news. Mainstream news is causing terror and fomenting violence in this country. It's Don Lemon. It's Rachel Maddow. It's Barack Obama. It's John Clapper. It's John Brennan. They are the terrorists. I'm not mincing words. I'm not retracting. That's the fact, Jack.
Well, you're right, Owen. They're ginning this up. I mean, we saw just the other day with the eunuch, whatever his name is, Brian Stelter, who I'm not saying he is one, but I agree with Alex Jones. That man looks like a pedophile, saying that Trump supporters are members of a terrible, awful, horrible cult. Well, what do you do with cult members, Owen? You get them out of the cult by any means necessary. If it's a violent cult, which they say it is, you kill them if necessary. What did the ATF do to a cult in the 1990s? They murdered them. Men, women, children, all of them. You kill these people. You kill people that are evil, as they say, CNN, MSNBC, we are. And I'm sure that this person, I mean, you can read the messages. Again, whether he's lying and he's a deeply disturbed person who should probably have a mental health screening and never be allowed near the elderly or in a position that could influence the elderly again, whether he's lying or whether it's true and this guy is a mass murderer, it almost doesn't matter because he feels safe bragging about this on social media. media. He feels safe talking about how evil and disgusting Trump supporters are, where he wants to defecate on us for centuries to come. In the message, he actually tells our source who sent this to us, he says, "I hope that I will care for a loved one of yours soon." How disturbed are these people? But again, Owen, they think it's totally fine. They're told by the media that what they're doing is stunning. It's brave. It's patriotic. It's patriotic to hate the country and want to kill half of the American populace. It's awesome.
And you got people, I mean, folks, big names, who are so afraid to share an InfoWars link, they won't even do it. But yet this individual is so confident he can go on there and claim he's murdering elderly people because they support Trump, claiming he's going to continue to do it to your loved ones. I mean, that just shows you where we're at right now as a society. Oh my gosh, don't post that InfoWars link. That might get you censored. But hey, I'm going to talk about how I want to murder your granny because she likes Trump.
Well, that speaks exactly to what's happening right now. I mean, we are in a state where folks are so afraid. I mean, it took the president sharing InfoWars articles and videos earlier this, or I guess last year now in 2019, for the public to see, oh, the world won't end if I share a clip of Savannah interviewing somebody, or if I share a clip of Owen's show or Alex saying something. I guess I won't be destroyed off the face of the earth. And again, I have in front of me, let me just read some of these again. They're disgusting. I hate you bleeping people so much. You deserve the worst of what is coming. Say whatever you want about minorities in this country. Who deserves more hate than the majority? These people have the conditioned to believe they are better than human. Please, GTFO with the BS. These idiots saw how Trump lied during the campaign, saw the disrespect he showed so many people who don't look like him. I literally am eating a lot of fiber so I can bleep ultra hard on these people, in quotation marks. May they be bleeped for generations to come. I hate these people. This person, whether or not any of this, why, and by the way, what I'm calling for now, the police absolutely need to get involved. We've done the hard work for you. If this is the individual in question, then question him. If there is enough evidence that he may be the individual in question, question him. See what he has to say. Get some large government agency. We certainly have enough of them. Get someone involved with this. That's where this needs to go. And if it is true, make this guy a symbol. Make him a message of what happens when you murder people, or at least say you're going to do it. I mean, Owen, how many Trump supporters? Look what happened to, say, Kanye West. He says he supports Trump. Next thing you know, oh, he's mentally deranged. He needs to go into an insane asylum. He needs to be treated. He needs drugs. So they're doing it to people on our side. But something like this happens. If a Trump supporter said the opposite of this, like, I'm going to kill elderly supporters of Joe Biden, you would never hear from that person again. They would be drugged so heavily, they probably would never speak again.
Oh, if you posted something like that on social media as a Trump supporter, I mean, you'd immediately get banned. There'd probably be an investigation. I mean, there'd be all kinds. In fact, you could actually just post, hey, stop killing your babies, and they'd probably come investigate you for that or censor you for that. That's the crazy level this has reached. And, you know, I'll just say this, since we've kind of touched on this. There's a really popular YouTube channel, Secure Team 10. I don't know if you've heard of it. Does a lot of UFO stuff. The creator of that channel hasn't been active for 2 months, just filed a report that he was arrested, falsely charged, and beaten in jail for his work. And he doesn't even get into politics. And I talked to this guy back in the day when the censorship was happening. I was like, you know, they're going to come for you too. And he just said, I'm going to do my own thing. But I mean, it's getting real out there. I mean, this is a real war for free speech and for reality, and what the history books are going to say. Tom Papert from the National File, doing yeoman's work over there. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Owen. It's always a pleasure.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Give me liberty
or give me death.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream
right now at Infowars.com/show.
You know how you always see the longest running streaks, like the longest active streak? Well, this is the longest running war room right here at Infowars. And it's all possible by you going to InfoWarsStore.com, supporting yourself with the great supplements, the great T-shirts, the emergency food supplies, the air filters, the water filters. You notice during the ad breaks, we don't have big corporate ads. We don't have big pharmaceutical ads. We don't have big Hollywood ads. We don't have big corporate food ads. We don't do that here. We're funded by your support at InfoWarsStore.com. Take advantage. It's the last days of the end of the year mega blowout sale. All the supplements, 60% off or more. Some we have package deals discounted even deeper. And we have free shipping store-wide. But I have to say, I've committed to selling socks. The George Washington socks at InfoWarsStore.com. I'm already having people blowing me up saying, how come I haven't seen these socks before? What is wrong with you, Schroyer? Why didn't you tell me about these socks whenever you got them? Well, I didn't even know about them. I just found out about them today. The crew's just scrolling down the InfoWars store website, and I saw the socks. I'm like, hey, whoa, what is that? And I'm like, yep. And then I just placed an order. George Washington socks. Only at InfoWarsStore.com. Free shipping, by the way. Free shipping at InfoWarsStore.com. So order your supplements, get yourself a nice water filter, a nice air filter, throw in a pair of George Washington socks, and then don't even worry about the shipping costs at InfoWarsStore.com. You know, it was a simpler time when you could wear a political hat or shirt out without being worried about having a violent act against you or being assaulted or spat on or having an object thrown at you. It was a simpler time when political hatred didn't flow through the veins of liberals in America. But this is where we're at now. And Donald Trump, unfortunately, has been the virus that has infected these people with hatred. Now, of course, it's not Trump. Trump is doing a great job as the United States president. Trump is one of the most popular men in America, was before and after elected. It's the mainstream news lying about him. It's the mainstream news exhibiting full-on hatred for the president of the United States and the United States in general that's driving this. And so, yeah, we don't mince words here. The anti-Trump media is driving a terror force in this country. But it was simpler times when we didn't have to deal with stuff like that. And so I wanted to go to this clip of Donald Trump on George Lopez. He used to have an old nightly talk show, George Lopez did. And this is obviously before Trump was running for president. Now, Donald Trump was featured on George Lopez Tonight years ago before he was running for president. He was still hosting The Apprentice. But you notice, again, all these people that claim to hate Trump now were friends with him in the past, had him on their shows, had him in movies, rapped about him in their rap albums. And here's just another example. By the way, George Lopez has literally whipped his tallywhacker out and urinated on the Trump star in public. I mean, that's how far Trump derangement syndrome has gone in George Lopez's life. But here's George Lopez about a decade ago hosting his comedy show, Donald Trump on as a guest, very cordial, fun segment. And if only they could continue having an attitude and an approach to Donald Trump like this, we would all be better off. So here's a flashback before the media decided to drive terrorism in this country against President Trump and his supporters. Americans got along and embraced Donald Trump for who and what he is. And here's just a funny flashback of Donald Trump on the George Lopez show years ago.
Simpler times. When I was poor, my penthouse apartment had a partially obstructed view of Central Park. Simpler times. Simpler times. When I wanted milk, I bought a dairy. And I always had Swiss milkmaids there. They were beautiful. Simpler times. Simpler times. When a Bentley was a car, not the first name of a girl in my son's daycare class. Simpler times. Simpler times when Rosie O'Donnell was the queen of nice. Now she's the queen of failed television shows. Simpler times when you could just say you're fired and now you have to terminate someone with rightful cause and give them a humane exit interview. And then you hope they don't sue you for ageism or harassment and blame you for their trauma and sexual dysfunction. Simpler times.
Oh, my gosh. Pause it right there. They literally blame Trump for their sexual impotence now. That actually happens. Guys, find that headline so we can show it after this clip ends. All right, roll the rest.
Simpler times, the good old days when banks loaned taxpayers money and not the other way around. Simpler times.
Lopez cheers.
Simpler times when real estate in Manhattan was only crazy instead of, are you freaking kidding me? Simpler times. Simpler times when I'd worry about money. Wait a minute. I never worried about money.
So there you go. Again, President Trump on George Lopez tonight. And Lopez laughing and the audience laughing. I mean, seriously, think about that. And this just shows you, it illustrates how brainwashed the public is by mass media, where 10 years ago they laughed at Trump making a joke against Rosie O'Donnell. Now they say he's sexist. 10 years ago, you had George Lopez, who would host Trump on a show and have a great time doing it. Now he's literally, the crew's running it, peeing on the Trump star. Literally, that's what's happened with Trump derangement syndrome in 10 years. And then I can't even believe it. It's Donald Trump, a time traveler. I mean, this is ridiculous. He says, simpler times when people didn't blame me, I don't remember the exact quote, but basically for their inability to perform in the bedroom, they're now doing that. You can find the headlines. Trump has ruined my sex life. Trump has made me impotent. I can't make love because I can't stop thinking about Donald Trump. Look at this. This is real. Has Trump wrecked our sex life? Post-Trump sex disorder is real, says sex therapist. That's from last year. Oh, my gosh. But again, I play that to illustrate what mass media has done, what liberalism has done to these people. What happened to George Lopez? What happened to Hollywood? What happened to these people? That is a funny segment with Lopez and Trump. Now Lopez urinates on the Trump star, says he's a bigot, racist, and everything. I mean, how about this one? Trump says the simpler times when taxpayers would get bailed out by the banks, not the other way around. And George Lopez claps. Obama had the biggest banker bailout stimulus package in the history of this country, not Trump. Lopez cheers, but I guarantee you Lopez would come out today and say Obama good, Trump bad. But it's not even about Lopez. It's about the mass media brainwashing the public, folks. This clip on Lopez is just an example where now they won't even put Trump in Home Alone 2 when it airs on national networks during Christmas time, because that's how much they hate Trump and they can't have any positive association with Donald Trump at all. None, zero, nothing, not even in Home Alone 2, one of our favorite Christmas classics. They cannot humanize Trump in any way, shape, or form. It's 100% commitment, demonize Trump, attack Trump, destroy Trump. Hey, Trump's trying to help you. It's like, literally, here's a guy. It's like you're dying, you're drowning in the ocean, and the guy throwing you a inner tube, and you're like trying to like bring him down and drown him with you. I mean, that's the level of insanity.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Now, you see Shrimpzilla here. If you're familiar with the War Room, you know about Shrimpzilla. This is not his usual theme music, but I play this because we joke about how Shrimpzilla powers the InfoWars studio on his little shrimp treadmill there, powered by the products at InfoWarsStore.com. But the truth is the origin of this video that we just turned into kind of a funny marketing thing is this is a government-funded project to, like, see shrimp power or something. I don't even remember how dumb it was. Or see if white shrimp can jump. Some stupid thing. Cost millions of dollars. So we just kind of turned that into our own little marketing thing. It ended up being beneficial to us. But these wasteful government projects are a very real thing, just like this shrimp test was. And so Rand Paul just put out a powerful video breaking down some of the ridiculous taxpayer-funded projects from the last year. Here's Rand Paul.
There was a $300,000 study studying Japanese quail to see if they're more sexually promiscuous on cocaine. There was a $2 million NIH study that was, if the people in front of you sneeze on the food, are you more or less likely to take the food that someone just sneezed on? The government spent $500,000 here in Washington, D.C. on a self-cleaning toilet. They called it Operation Golden Potty. About really has become biased in its administration and its intelligence gathering. Subscribe to the Daily Caller. Government is so riddled with waste that we put out a waste report and give awards for the Platinum Pig Awards for the worst waste in government. And everywhere we look, we find waste. We found $33 million spent to buy textbooks for Afghanis. Kind of insult to Americans when we hear of teachers buying pencils and paper for students in our country. Our education system doesn't seem to have enough for pencils and paper, and yet we spent $33 million in Afghanistan buying them textbooks. You know, we talk about wasteful spending in Afghanistan. We're spending $50 billion a year in Afghanistan. That's real money. $4.5 million was spent studying whether or not when people are intoxicated, they're more prone to fall down and have accidents. And that kind of absurdity really shouldn't be tolerated. I mean, we live in a time when we can't seem to build, pave, or repair our own roads, and yet we're spending a lot of money overseas and on really some things that are quite ridiculous. So they wanted to study whether or not people have a genetic predisposition to being addicted to nicotine or alcohol. Well, we kind of already know that. So where they're studying things that are obvious that people already know and aren't going to change our behavior. But they spent $700,000 in England, so the money's not even spent here, addicting zebrafish to nicotine and seeing whether or not there's any kind of genetic predisposition. So just ridiculous studies like this. And I would just say that these people are beyond shame and they won't do any better unless we give them less money. So really, this is tied into the whole concept of we need to spend less money.
So again, that's from Rand Paul, and he breaks it down. Hundreds of millions of dollars of wasteful government spending. That shrimp video that we run, the test they did on shrimp cost over $600,000. And these are the things they sneak into the omnibus bills and these stimulus bills. It's utter nonsense. And again, you can't even get a road paved. You can't even get a bridge built. You can't even get a school fixed. You can't even pay a teacher enough money. But you can shell out millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars for just total useless studies that if the American people voted on this funding, it would never get passed ever. That's why they sneak it into these bills in the dark of night, giving congressmen less than 24 hours to read it. This is why Ted Cruz did that report where he's smoking the cigar with the omnibus bill saying they just robbed you blind, America. And that's what they did. And that's what they continue to do. And the biggest function of this is the military-industrial complex. And so some of the headlines today, Barack Obama welcomed leader of U.S. embassy attack at the White House. That's right, folks. Again, this attack on the embassy has Barack Obama and John Kerry's fingerprints all over it. Of course, that's not saying it's Barack Obama and John Kerry. It's saying they've all been working for the same people that have tried to get us into the Gulf of Tonkin, into the war in Vietnam, into other Gulf wars, into the Afghanistan war with 9/11 and weapons of mass destruction. Whether it's George Bush, whether it's Obama, it's the same people, you see? Trump is not of those people. That's why they all hate Trump. Not doesn't mean Trump's perfect. But Trump is weighing what to do with this attack on the embassy, clearly being orchestrated by Western-backed CIA proxy forces, one of which was in the White House with Barack Obama. Now, they know there's obvious justification for people in the Middle East to be upset with the United States and all of our foreign intervention over there and all the lies it took us to get us there. So they use that now to try to push that against Trump and make him look bad. So now there's political formulas being weighed. Trump says, well, what do I do here? I don't want them to turn this into me, a Benghazi for me, because people did die. And so Trump said, no, we're going full out. We're responding to this. Send in the troops, Apache helicopters, everything. But they kind of also baited Trump into doing that. So the deep state baits Trump, orchestrates this attack. They know that Trump's going to have to respond in some way. Then they can twist the headline. So they would either twist it and say, oh, Trump lets people die at U.S. Embassy, or Trump has to respond. He does. And then they can eventually say Trump is causing more war in the Middle East. He promised he wouldn't. So that's what's coming next, because you have Defense Secretary Mark Esper on Fox this morning beating the war drums. Here it is.
The president tweeted out that they will pay a big price. He said this is not a warning. This is a threat and a New Year's message. Mr. Secretary, what is President Trump's willingness to further engage there?
Look, the president has been very engaged. The national security team has been on the phone with him, or has met with him daily, if not every few hours. He wants to make sure that our forces are well taken care of, that we're capable of accomplishing our mission on the ground. And he's absolutely correct that if anybody challenges us, they will be met with a severe response, a strong response by U.S. forces.
What does that severe, strong response look like?
Oh, I'm not going to telegraph what we're going to do, but people know that we have vast capability to do any number of things. We will act in response to actions by Iran or its proxies, and we will act to preempt any attacks on our forces, our personnel, by Iran or its proxies.
Now, notice how he says Iran proxies. Folks, these are CIA proxies. These are deep state proxies. These are globalist proxies. They've been operating in this region for decades. Now, it's a very complex issue. And because Trump doesn't come from this deep state, corrupt political system, they have to constantly feed him misinformation and confuse him on what's actually going on there. So it's harder and harder for him to get the reality on the ground. And so now he's making decisions without all the knowledge he can get, because there's so much stuff being flung at him, and he's forced to take things at face value. Because he knows the American people only see what they see, and they only know what they know. So he has to make a decision based off that instead of potentially based off what is right or what needs to be done, because it's so convoluted and so complex. Now, you can say that's good, that's bad, or something in between, but that's what's going on. And so it's the same forces that lied us into the war in Vietnam, lied us into the invasion of Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan and everything in the Middle East, lied about the JFK assassination. It's the same shadow government, the same people that run every president, same people that shot Ronald Reagan, had that arranged, had George Bush as vice president. I mean, folks, it's all very clear when you've done the deep research and the analysis of how this corruption really operates. But so now Trump is sitting here faced with a decision, and now they are sending more troops to the Middle East. They're already arriving. And so this is something I think that the shadow government, the deep state, the globalists are trying to use to start the year. And again, they can either pose it as Trump's Benghazi moment, or they can pose it as Trump is sending more troops to the Middle East. He's bad. Of course, it won't matter. You say, well, wait, Obama expanded these wars. Obama sent more people to the Middle East. Obama blew up weddings with his drones and bragged and laughed about it. It doesn't matter. Obama put the kids in cages. Obama wrecked the economy. They still blame all that on Trump. So reality doesn't matter to the mainstream news. They control reality, and they control what their audience thinks reality is. So whatever reality is doesn't matter. The American people think whatever reality is on television. So Trump is also battling that. So we'll see if this pops off into a larger scenario. But man, I think this is the perfect opportunity for Trump to just double down and say, look, we're not doing this stuff in the Middle East anymore. But again, it doesn't even matter, folks, because the mainstream media lies about it all. So they'll never even get him credit. So he almost has to play their game with them until he can move the piece into checkmate.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
I found the elixir of life. I found the fountain of youth. I'm thinking about just retiring after this glory. Lizzo, the same entertainer that shook her bare ass at a Lakers game in front of children and families, has upped the ante now and figured, if I can shake my bare ass in front of children, why not take it up to 40,000 feet and shake it on an airplane and make that go viral? And here's the funny thing, because I wouldn't even cover this, quite frankly. But can you pull the tweet up that I sent you? In fact, you know what? I think I have it right here. Yeah, I just didn't want to look at Lizzo's butt anymore, so I took it off my desk. But here it is anyway. DJ Academics has over 1 million followers on Twitter, says, Lizzo and her crew, I'm sorry to do this to the audience. Let me just, there. I mean, that's disgusting. I'm sorry. Oh, Lizzo and her crew twerking 40,000 feet in the air on a private jet. Is Lizzo the baddest in the game right now or nah? So apparently to be the baddest in the game, you have to shake your fat ass. And that's it. Now, if you do it in front of families at a Lakers game, you know, more props to you. But it's just like Idiocracy, folks. This is Idiocracy. Like, you remember Ass, the name of the movie? Ass? And then Ass Part 2? This is it. Lizzo is ass. Lizzo is the epitome or the equivalent of ass in Idiocracy. Zero entertainment value, zero intellectual value, zero cultural value, zero family value, just zero value at all except ass. And so there we go. There is, according to, you know, this is pop culture now. This is the rap game, or this is whatever game, pop game or hip hop game is. You don't need talent. You don't even need to be able to play the instrument. You just need to shake your fat ass on Twitter and on Instagram and at a Laker game, and you are the baddest in the game. I mean, it's sad how far entertainment has fallen. Is it not? Is it not? I mean, that is disgusting. I mean, I feel guilty even airing this. Total degeneracy, total Satanism, total depravity. Oh. Oh. It's disgusting. And it's popular. This is the equivalent of ass. If you don't know, folks, there's a movie, Idiocracy, where a guy goes into the future when humanity's reached its total point of degeneracy and IQs are lower than they could ever go. And they literally have full-length feature films just all about ass. And it's just a picture of an ass on the big screen just shaking and farting. That's Lizzo is ass. So Lizzo is the cultural, intellectual equivalent of ass. But you see, this is how we get deceived, folks. This is promoted, this is praised, and Lizzo's worth millions of dollars. So this is what people think is good. This is what people think works. And then this is what people strive to be. And this is how Hollywood has totally degenerated our society right here. This is how the entertainment industry has totally degenerated our society right here. With ass. With Lizzo. Total disgust. Total degeneration.
I just want to step in for a sec, Owen.
Marcos Morales, we've missed you. Oh my gosh, go ahead.
I gotta advocate for the fat ass. Now I'm saying, I just gotta advocate.
Go home. Right?
You're up here hating on all this fat ass. I gotta tell you, that's where it's at.
If Lizzo put her fat ass on your face, you would die of suffocation.
Happily.
Yeah.
third hour of the InfoWars War Room.
My next guest, Jesse Lee Peterson, is going to be joining me shortly. I want to do two things real quick before he joins me. Earlier with Tom Papert and Leo Zagami, I was talking about how the mask has come off of the devil's soldiers, many of them Democrat parties, operatives, many of them in Hollywood. And I didn't even know this, but Harrison Smith did a whole special on this, and the headline at InfoWars.com, 2019, the year the mask came off. Again, I keep making these. I can't help it because I really am just totally consumed by media. Like, I'm a media savant. It's just like an American Psycho where he talks about the mask of sanity slipping. That's what it is. The mask of sanity is slipping off of these liberal Democrats. And they're showing who they really are as Satan's foot soldiers. Whether it's them bragging about killing babies, boasting about it, lying and making up hate crime attacks, this is the mask of them slipping off. They had a mask of being humans, and then the mask came off. They're actually devils. But we can talk about that more later down the road. Jesse Lee Peterson is with me now. Now, Jesse Lee has just done a video talking about what the Pope did. But before we get Jesse Lee on to talk about this, we just got fresh footage, ladies and gentlemen. This is breaking actually right now. Of course, it's InfoWars. It's going to blow the doors wide open on this. We just got new footage of Pope Francis in California. Or was it? Where was he, guys? Was he at Harvard University here? He was at Harvard. That's right. This is wild, wacky stuff. Pope Francis made a visit to Harvard last night. Here's how it went.
Let me let you know something. While you're sitting in this car, you don't run
teleporter.
Drive this car. Not Oh, you think it's funny, bitch? This is pimping here. I've been on Wheel of Fortune. Price is right. Oh, bitch, it's funny. Come on with it.
Oh, boy, y'all rather piss off that crew than piss off Potter.
Oh, it's funny. Keep on laughing. Bring your face over here. Hey, that
Wow. The Pope goes to Harvard University and slaps two women in the face. College co-eds. Unbelievable, Jesse Lee. Okay, so that's obviously a joke. It's from an old film. But the Pope exhibiting some very strange behavior, hateful behavior at you know, my view of it, where he slaps the woman's hand, but even more than that, he's ripping his hand away. He has an evil, angry look on his face. So Jesse Lee Peterson from the JLP show, jlptalk.com, what did you make of the Pope's strange, erratic behavior?
I first got to say, man, you're my hero. Forget about the Pope. When I saw you been taken out of that hearing there in Washington, D.C., and you were like, yeah, I don't like this. I'm like, that's my hero. Did they take you to jail?
They did. I spent three hours in jail.
That's amazing. We need more alpha males like you. The Pope needs to learn from you because the Pope is a beta male. Beta, beta. When I saw the Pope smack that woman on the hand and you could see that he was angry, I'm like, this is the reason you're not supposed to follow other people. You're supposed to know what's right yourself and do what's right and not follow these people, because all these thousands of people, millions, I don't know how many, they're following the Pope, and the Pope is no different than them. The Pope looked like grandmama patting this woman on the hand for holding her. And that's not the kind of guy you want to follow, because he's not a good example. I just hope that the Catholic people who are into the Catholic religion, especially the guys, they start thinking for themselves rather than listen to some Pope beta male, because the Pope ain't poping right on this particular film. Also, I showed a film where people were kneeling and kissing him on the hand, and he would rush and take his hand away from that. I don't know why people would follow a beta male like the Pope. It was insane.
Well, and this is the Pope who should exhibit more humility and patience than anybody else on earth. I mean, being in that position, and he just does the exact opposite. And it is funny because, you know, most of those videos that people are kind of pulling up now are older videos. But it took this video for people to go back and review it and realize, wow, this is really nothing new for the Pope. He's kind of been a jerk like this forever.
I know. He's a weak beta male anyway, and this just really displays it. I wonder how will the people who follow the Pope respond to his action here? I mean, look at it. It's insane. this man is not of God. This man is not a man of power and authority and perfect love. This guy is impatient. And I have to tell you, Owen, you cannot be born again of God and have and be impatient. You have to have patience for folks because a lot of people don't realize what they're doing. And you're supposed to be an example of how they can overcome. And the Pope is not an example of that at all. The Pope needs Jesus himself.
Well, and again, you know, you're the Pope. You're dealing with some of the most downtrodden, desperate people on earth. I mean, yeah. that comes with the role. And you can tell he just has zero patience for even this woman. I mean, imagine a decrepit old lady with cancer or a dying child or is blind or something, you know, comes to the Pope begging for some, you know, a prayer or some blessing. I mean, the Pope's going to, you know, he's going to fart and walk away.
I know. He seemed Delaney seemed desperate to meet him, too, and to touch him and to say hello, whatever she was saying to him. But he was not hearing any of that. Later, I hear that he has apologized for it, saying that he need more humility or something like that, something dumb. But this guy, it should be a wake-up call for all of mankind, because in all honesty, we are not supposed to have a leader over us. I believe in God. God, Christ, God in Christ, Christ in man over woman, and woman over children. And that order is what's supposed to happen. Your parents are to be a good example until you become an adult. And then once you become an adult, you return back to the Father yourself. And you don't need a physical leader. We learn from each other. We listen to each other. But we're guided by what is right. And that's on the inside of us.
Well, and I think a real Pope would actually step down and resign after this and say, clearly, yeah. You know, I'm not in the right headspace right now. And I need some guidance of my own. And so I don't want to fill these shoes for this big responsibility anymore because of my erratic behavior. This is not an example. Because again, it's such a complex thing. But you have to understand, when you are in a position like this, every minute, every second is a photo opportunity. Every second is a screenshot in time. And so that one screenshot of him slapping the woman, being totally hateful and selfish, that now personifies him as a person, and which now represents the Catholic Church and the Vatican. So for him not to even have that understanding of the position ever, it just shows you who this man really is. He's not a real Pope. He's a plant. He was inserted there by people behind the scene. He's clearly meant to cover some things up that have been going on in the Vatican, gay sex orgies and pedophile behavior and dead bodies and bones found in the Vatican as well. So But it doesn't matter. So he arrogantly can go around, act like a jerk, rip his hand away, be totally selfish and arrogant, and he just gets to be the Pope, or at least a facsimile of the Pope, because that's how the Vatican works now.
I absolutely agree. I would love to interview that lady to see what she was really thinking after that, when that was happening, while that was happening to her, and now how would she see the Pope? Would she continue to follow the Pope, or would she
doubt it.
God on her own?
Yeah, I doubt she follows the Pope. And again, look, the lady, you know, does grab his hand, and to a certain level, you say, hey, you know, you shouldn't have done that. But again, this is the Pope. He needs to be the one exhibiting humility. He needs to be the one exhibiting patience. He needs to be understanding and bless that woman. Instead, he goes into hate mode, anger mode, and then violent mode.
I could not believe it. I was as surprised by the Pope as I was when I saw the first black man say he had a husband. This guy on the Turning Point, I don't know if you know about this. It was a black guy that is a representative, one of the representatives or spokesman for the Turning Point. What was his name? Rob Smith. He's one of the representatives for the Turning Point. Here I am getting dressed, watching Tucker Carlson, right? This black guy pops up. He represented Turning Point, talking about conservative views, issues. And then all of a sudden he said, well, I'm a homosexual. I'm like, okay. Then he said, I have a husband. I'm like, what the? I've never heard a black man say that he had a husband, especially in public. Black people don't normally do that. This guy made my hair turn into an afro. I had to rush to the barbershop to get it cut off. That's the guy.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show
This is the type of music Jesse Lee Peterson listens to when he's working out. He'll deny it. He'll laugh it off. But I know he's in there rocking the metal. All right. Jesse Lee Peterson with us. He holds nothing. He holds nothing in, folks. He lets it all out there. That's why we love him. The JLP show. Jesse, where do you want to go from here? There's so much we can get to. Oh, you got to ask me a question. Okay.
Yeah, first I want to say happy new year. Well, too late for Merry Christmas, but Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you and your supporters, your audience. And it's really an amazing thing to know you, man. I have a lot of respect for you and especially your courage. So Happy New Year, and I wish you and your family well this year.
Thank you. You too, Jesse. I hope someday we can actually meet in person. I have a feeling I'll be out on the West Coast before the end of this epic year to come. So when I'm out there, maybe I'll reach out to you and your crew, the great work you guys do. Maybe we can link up and do something. But how about this, though, since you bring that up?
One last thing I want to tell you real fast is that Savannah, I was fortunate enough to be interviewed by Savannah last month, right? And she was amazing, man. Watch out for her. She is a good interviewer. I had a very good conversation with her. I really enjoy it. So I want to say happy New Year's to her as well, Savannah.
Yeah, she's trying to replace me as the host. She's gunning for me here. Yeah, so
she's
I have
doing
to be
a good job.
I have to be at the top of my game. There's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
There she is right there.
Hey, Savannah. Very happy New Year. I see you there.
So since we're here talking about 2019, what do you think was the biggest story or development for you in your mind? It was an epic year for 2019, Jesse Lee Peterson.
Number one is when I saw the video of the blacks throwing water and throwing a bucket at the police officers while they were trying to write a ticket or make an arrest. And that the blacks had no fear of doing that. They had no respect for the cops. And I just never, I knew the black folks, not all, but most had issues. But I didn't know they had gone that low. To see them attacking the officers in that manner was absolutely mind-blowing to me, man. It's like, when I become president, the first thing I'm going to do is haul all the angry blacks in and lock them up. And those until they get back to common sense. Because when I was growing up under the Jim Crow laws, under plantation in Alabama, this kind of stuff was unheard of. And supposedly we were supposed to be growing up into rough times, but this was not going on. And number one, we would have been afraid that our parents would have gotten us for doing something like this. To not have respect for authority in that way, it was absolutely evil. And to see them doing this was mind-blowing to me. And they got away with it. There was no real punishment for it. It was just mind-blowing. And
you
the
know,
second...
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
And the second thing that just really, really blew my mind, this is like mind-blowing, like radical mind-blowing, is that right near the end of the year, There is an attack upon the Jews in New York. And this attack has been done by mostly black people. I haven't seen anyone else doing it. It's mostly black people attacking the Jews. But I don't hear them calling it black supremacy. I don't hear anyone protesting and rallying in the streets. It's kind of quietly being dealt with. I don't hear them pointing out that these attacks are being done by black people. But I guarantee you, with all that is within me, had these same attacks been done by white guys, it would have been all hell to pay. They would be called white supremacists. The president would be blamed for it, even though they're trying to blame the president for this incident or those incidents. But if white guys had done the same thing, they would be rounding up and locking up all white guys in America today. But because they're black, it's rarely spoken of.
And the guy that went into the Jewish synagogue and stabbed a bunch of people, too, he was black. And again, they blame Trump for all this stuff. Trump's the most pro-Israel president ever, so much so people call him a Zionist. And yet here they are. And again, they blame Trump. But, I'm not even sitting here trying to point the finger, do the blame game, but it's like, how does Louis Farrakhan not get brought up in these conversations
with all
the anti-Semitism that he promotes and preaches? And, you know, I'm glad that you brought up the New York police water attack, too. Always a unique perspective from Jesse Lee Peterson here. And because I hear a lot about not just how do I explain this? You're actually the expert on this. But there was the cops in New York getting attacked. As you point out, it was mostly black people. There was a viral video of a huge fight that broke out in a mall. It went to a jewelry store, a bunch of property damaged. Again, it was you know, youths that happened to be black too. But here's see, because we tiptoe around this subject. You don't. You smash right into it. You have no fear. You're like a bull in a china shop. But here's the thing, is we're so afraid. Like you said, it's no fear, blame the white guy for everything. But people are so afraid to point out the fact that these are black kids doing this because they're afraid to be called racist. When again, we're not even saying it has anything to do with race. That's just a fact that we point out. It has to do with they have fatherless homes. It has to do with the breakup of the family. That's what this has to do with more than anything. But because people are so afraid to even point the finger at a fact saying, hey, why are black youths in America so prone to crime and violence by the own FBI statistics? And then look at the counterpart and say, oh, there's a similar number here, a parallel number of fatherless children that happen to be black. And as you just said, that's what it is. Forget about whether you have respect for the authority of the police or not. People can argue about that all day. But how about respect for your father? You know, that's the original disciplinarian, is a father and or a mother. If you're not getting that discipline as a child, then yeah, you're not going to think about throwing water on a cop when you get no punishment. You're not going to think about stopping a fight in the mall when you're in the middle of a fight.
And how about self-respect? There's something called self-respect. There's no way that I would have done anything like that. It would not have occurred to me. The cops is out there making an arrest or whatever they're doing. I'm going to pick up a bucket of water and go and dash and throw it on them and throw a bucket at them and laugh about it and kick up heels and just feel like I'm going to get away with no shame or anything at all. I have said over and over and over and over and over again that there's no such thing as racism, sexism, homophobiaism, Islamophobiaism, deadbeatism, or white supremacism. It's either right or wrong, good or evil. And the blacks, not all, but most, are going out of control because they've lost the concept of what good is. They, as you mentioned, and it's true, they're not being raised by two parents in their homes. And then when they go out into the world, they are being deceived by the children of the lie, the so-called civil rights leaders, the schools, and all this crap, right? And now they're just out of control.
And you know what? Let's actually continue this conversation if you can do one more segment with us. And and we'll continue this conversation on the other side. But again, see, they make it all about race when you just want to point to statistics. But it comes down to the fact it's fatherless homes. And I wish, you know, we did this segment. Rand Paul points out all this worthless government spending. What if you did a study on children raised in a home with two parents versus children not? I mean, imagine what those statistics would bear out. It's probably already been done.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Warning.
This broadcast
is not for the weak-minded.
It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Jesse Lee Peterson with us for another segment. We're talking about the racist crime statistics in this country. How dare crime statistics actually bear out truth? But as Jesse was saying, you can really just tell where the racism exists in the media with how things are reported. And so, as he was pointing out, you have all these attacks against Jewish people. Most, if not all, of the perpetrators happen to be black. Now, you can decide whether that is, what causes that for yourself. But it's funny because if you say that, you'd be considered racist and you'll never see a headline in the New York Times, "Why are black men attacking Jews in New York?" You'll never see that. But here was the first headline from the New York Times in 2020. In a homecoming video meant to unite campus, almost everyone was white. The video was created to show off the University of Wisconsin. Instead, it set off a furor and a reckoning over what it means to be a black student on campus. Now, who's actually saying this and complaining about this? No one. Just the New York Times. But you can't do a homecoming video, which is just crowds at a football game. I mean, I don't know what the demographic is at Wisconsin. Okay, maybe there's mostly white people there. It's like if I did a video at, I think, Grambling State, I think that's a historically black college, and they're all black. That's like me saying, oh my gosh, there's only black people in this video. It's racist. It's like, no, the black people go to the school. What do you expect? And how can they even tell if all these people are black just based off, some of these people, the point is they sit here and obsess over race all day and will write any headline about the bad whitey, but you won't catch them saying anything about black people because that's considered racist. So what do you make of where the media is at with this coverage? Where, again, it shouldn't even be about race. If you really want to get down to the facts, you can look at the statistics on fatherless homes, single parent households. Even trace it to social economic issues, you know, but to sit here and blame race is not what anybody's doing. But then they claim that that's what you're doing if you report about black people, and then they report about white people being bad all day long and then say, how dare you even talk about it, racist. So do you think this trend continues and gets worse into 2020, or do you think America's really sick of it and they see these headlines and just turn the page?
I think that America, some are becoming fed up with it. But white people got to start speaking up, man. They have to start standing up and speaking up. Because if they don't, it will get worse. We're going to have South Africa, Mommy Africa, in America, where the blacks have taken over in South Africa, and they are now running white people, taking their lands without compensation, attacking, robbing, raping, and murdering in their homes. And nothing can be done about it. There's no outcry across the world about it because it's happening to white people. And in our society today, for whatever reason, white people hate it, especially the white, straight, conservative male with power, because he's holding things together and they don't want that to happen. They want to take it away from the white people. This is a white man's country. White people founded America and created the greatest country on this side of heaven. And they allow the people of color in here, however they get here, and they come and they turn on you. And what do white people do? Oh, they say, oh, that's okay. It's white supremacy or whatever they call it.
Well, that's it. They're so afraid of.
White people better start speaking up.
They're so afraid of that word racist, they'll never do it. But, you know, I'm glad that you brought it up, Jesse. There's actually an individual in Austin who's doing an awareness walk for the South African farmers that are getting murdered. Alex Jones actually interviewed this individual. Was he on the Alex Jones show, guys, or did he just do a special interview? It's going to be at Infowars.com and Van.video for people that want to find that. I'll make sure we have that. But Jesse, let me just move on for you to a new subject.
I want to make one quick point.
Go ahead.
Instead of blaming, you know, I don't know if you remember, some years ago, Al Sharpton had been kind of gearing these people up for this kind of stuff. At one point, they were attacking the Jews and blaming the Jews, and he called them. He said something, they had to put their Hanukkah back or whatever, right? So this thing has been building up for years. It's not nothing new in the black community. But instead of blaming Al Sharpton for some of this stuff, they blamed the president. The president had nothing to do with it at all. They blamed the white guy, but not Al Sharpton or Louis Farrakhan and those type of people who has been encouraging this type of stuff for years to gone by already.
All right, let's transition here.
May I ask you a question?
Pun not intended.
Before we run out of time?
Yeah, you got 4 minutes. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so tell me if you can, what was it like being handcuffed and taken out of that room, and what happened to you?
Well, I've got court coming up, and I don't want to go too much into detail for some obvious reasons, but I'll just say this as a general statement of fact here. I think that it's a total travesty and abomination of justice that I was arrested that day and I'm facing charges and I have a court date for executing peacefully my First Amendment right, but Jerry Nadler and the Democrats still are committing treason to this day with their illegal impeachment. Hillary Clinton is still not behind bars for all the crimes we know she committed. James Comey is still not behind bars for the perjury and all the leaking that he did. But the little peon, one little citizen, dare speak up, put him in jail, cuff him, arrest him, make an example of him. That's the real story here, Jesse, and it just shows you the two-tier justice system, which, again, more will come out on this after my court date, and I'll be more willing to answer some questions, but just well, as a basic response, that's what I have.
I have much respect for you, and whatever we can do to help you on our end, you only have to let us know, man. We'll do whatever. You did the right thing. I admire it. We need more men on the side of good, standing up and speaking out. And if you got to go to jail, you just got to go to jail. But at some point, whites and blacks and other men of good got to stand up and say no more. Otherwise, they're going to destroy us. And we cannot lay down and allow that to happen.
Yeah, they are taking my property, too. Yeah, I'm going to be able to comment more openly on this after the court date, hopefully.
I understand.
But let me say this before we go to a break, because I know this is really going to have you excited. And so I got to get your take on this. Jesse Lee Peterson, Marvel is about to introduce its first transgender superhero. You're probably already lining up to get tickets.
When I saw that, I'm like, I'm hoping that the boys and girls who watch this stuff would just end their membership, whatever they do to watch it. This is really imposing evil upon the innocent, and this should not be happening. But as long as folks support Marvel or whatever it is, I don't know much about it, they're going to continue to do this. They're trying to impose evil upon the people of good. It's time to cut this stuff out, and this is a good example of ending this stuff. This is absolutely, absolutely insane. This is evil. It goes beyond insane. This is evil.
Well, and here's why it's so unnatural and non-organic, because you can go watch any Marvel movie. I mean, they have the image here of the Guardians of the Galaxy here. I mean, Marvel movies have like alien human hybrids, like animal human hybrids, like all kinds of crazy stuff. They don't promote it like first transgender alien or first alien human. It's just a character in a movie. You don't really think about it. You're just like, oh, it's a movie. It's a character. Like, no big deal. It's not an agenda. When they promote it as transgender, when they promote that and they force it down your throat, like, this is why you're watching it, to support a transgender superhero. Watch the movie. That's when you know it's an agenda foot. If it was just some other superhero and they just happen to make him transgender, I don't know how you would portray that on a screen. I don't want to know either. But that's why they have to force it down your throat with the promotion, transgender superhero. Watch the movie or you're bigoted.
I know. It's insane. They're trying to make a wrong into a right, and they're forcing you to accept it. That's what they want to do. But I just think that at some point, America's going to, because we are a Judeo-Christian nation, America's going to say no to this stuff. They're just going to get so fed up that they're going to say no. They're going to vote these people out. They're going to vote in the right men and women that will stand up for what is right and work for we the people and not against us. If they don't do it, they'll vote them out again. We got to take control of our country and of our families. This is pure evil. It's corrupted the children.
Well, I think that's the big trend for this decade, Jesse, is people taking control of their families again, homeschooling and other such things. Jesse Lee Peterson, always a great segment. Where can people follow you, Jesse?
Go to jlptalk.com or rebuildingtheman.com.
jlptalk.com. It's amazing.
Amazing. And you're my hero, man. I don't know if you realize it.
Infowars.com/show.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is, I don't even know how I can, I'm really at a loss, but I didn't even expect this to happen. I put on the George Washington socks from InfoWarsStore.com and I traveled back in time. And I was literally on George Washington's farm in Virginia listening to him wax poetic about the American Revolution and freedom. It was unbelievable. So I didn't even realize you put on these George Washington socks from InfoWarsStore.com. You travel back in time and you end up sitting on his farm in Virginia listening to him speak about the American Revolution as he smokes on his tobacco pipe. I think it was tobacco. May have been a little wacky tobacco. Of course, I'm being facetious, but it is a time capsule, the George Washington socks from InfoWarsStore.com. On sale right now. Free shipping store-wide at InfoWarsStore.com. Get the George Washington socks. I want to sell these out. I want to sell George Washington socks until they're sold out, which kind of diverts from my original thing, which was to sell out the Bowie knife here, which I think we still have at InfoWarsStore.com. So that's kind of like my goals for January, is to sell out this Bowie knife at InfoWarsStore.com and to sell out those George Washington socks. Now, I don't know how many of those we have. We may have a ton. We may have plenty. I know we don't have many of these Bowie knives left at InfoWarsStore.com. Makes a great gift. And it's such a great deal. I don't want to know how we got the deal on this Bowie knife, quite frankly. But it's less than $100 at InfoWarsStore.com. And it's such a great deal. Pretty much all the crew took advantage of this, but we still have some left at InfoWarsStore.com. So get on over to InfoWarsStore.com. Get yourself the Bowie knife that I have in my hand right here. Beautiful. Just the craftsmanship is awesome. It's very unique. If you're a knife collector, you're going to enjoy this. It's only at InfoWarsStore.com. Very unique. Again, great for knife collectors. The value is unmatched. Limited quantity left at InfoWarsStore.com. So I'm going to try to sell out of these by the end of the month. And now we're promoting the George Washington socks at InfoWarsStore.com, which I'll have in studio, hopefully for your pleasure to view tomorrow. And I'll tell you how soft they feel, how perfectly they fit on my feet. And I may even make up another story about going back in time when I put them on to talk to George Washington. So it's all at InfoWarsStore.com, free shipping store-wide, and all the big discounts on the supplements and the hats and the T-shirts and the apparel and the air filters and the water filters and the emergency food and the socks and everything. All those specials only have 4 days left. So take advantage of all of that before it either sells out, is off a discount, or before the free shipping ends. Okay, I've pretty much got to all of my clips today. What if I did this? What if I opened up the phone lines and whoever gets in gets on the line? So that's what we're going to do. I got a couple more news stories I'm going to hit, but we got 6 minutes left. We can answer a phone call and get you on the board before I sign off here. So 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. If you can get in and get on the board, I'll take your call before I sign off. 877-789-2539. Now, let me hit the rest of these headlines before we do that. I've already hit those. Moving on from that. And now here we are. Florida poised to surpass New York in congressional seats. Oh, but it's not just New York. New York and California are projected to each lose a U.S. congressional seat due to population declines, while Texas and Florida, which are attracting more residents, will be among the biggest winners. Now, this is a key congressional seat battle. This is a key electoral college battle, really, too, because it shows you how Democrat policies are causing mass exodus, tax exodus, out of blue states like New York and California that have the worst taxes. The only other state that may be worse is Illinois. But it's New York, it's California, everybody knows it. These are Democrat-run states. People are fleeing them to where? Conservative states that have conservative tax plans and conservative politics. But of course, the left is trying to also destroy Texas right now and destroy Florida right now. So these are very key states for Republicans and conservatives to hold on to so that Democrats don't destroy them and then take those electoral college votes, take those congressional seats. Very important. Zero Hedge has a story. 2019 was a bad year for the only cops should have guns narrative. A great breakdown here. And it breaks down all the different instances that we saw this last year with people stopping mass shootings because a good guy with a gun was there to stop it. And also the crime statistics, specifically with homicide, going down directly in areas that have more guns purchased. Now, this is just, I mean, like, you read this, you're like, Hillary Clinton becomes first female chancellor of Queen's University in Belfast. So Hillary Clinton has just been appointed the Queen's University in Northern Ireland, that she is the chancellor. I mean, I guess that's like Satan school now. Adan Salazar has the story at Infowars.com. Father beats alleged pedophile after catching him naked in children's bedroom. And, you know, that's the kind of behavior you used to see if, you know, somebody showed up dressed as a woman, groping your kid. Sorry, you're not allowed to say that. Bouncing your kitty on the lap. I'll stop right there. And, of course, you have the Maxwell mystery. Where is Epstein's top recruiter, Ghislaine Maxwell, and why isn't she being questioned? Okay, let's take as many phone calls as we can in 3 minutes. I'll give everybody 60 seconds, and then we got to hop. Let's go to Jacob in Minnesota. Go ahead. Jacob. What's going on here, guys? Okay, let's try Corinne in Michigan. Go ahead, Corinne.
I'm going to try to make it fast. You know, I saw the Pope's reaction, and it kind of reverts back to a reaction that I got from a priest in the confessional back when I was a kid around 1964, telling me I was going to go to hell. And this was all over, saying the word damn to my brother over a rocking chair. Laugh at that one. I actually put an audio on that, a parody on that, as me impersonating the priest and the child and whatever. It's on SoundCloud, but it's Stony Wolf. But I can identify with what that woman went through. I ran out of that confessional in tears.
Well, and I know that your story is not the only one like that, Corinne. I definitely know that. I've heard similar things. And I mean, I was raised Catholic. I went to a Catholic grade school, went to church every Sunday. Not that there's anything wrong there, but obviously you hear stories like this. You read about it. And it is true. It's sad that's what's happening. Thanks for the call, Corinne. Chris in Indiana, go ahead.
Hey there, Owen. Definitely looking at what you guys have been talking about and Papert's reports, and it looks like the Second Amendment is obviously going to be something that could be a trigger to another civil war. But another topic, my town had just started building a large multi-housing facility, and it's one of two, and it's right in front of the oldest church, Christian church in Plainfield, Indiana, Quaker church, and it's like a central part on the U.S. National 40, which is the America's road that kind of built the nation. And I feel like they put these big towers and totally destroyed the small, quiet. They made my friend who has a brew pub move and also a natural food store move, and they just kind of took over and making our small town, bringing a lot of people in.
Well, and this ends up being a political tool to build these things, to crap on the local culture and color, and then bring in a voting block and put them in these facilities. Thanks for the call, Chris. Final call. Let's do Ed in Utah. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, Owen. Owen, thank you so much. Congratulations on your fine work, and we're all so blessed to have you. Hey, two things. I heard the other day that Joe Biden has written 3 books, and he was sued for plagiarism on 2 of the books and lost both of those cases. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, actually. It's been a while since I researched and looked into that. But yeah, Joe Biden is a known plagiarist. I'm sorry, Ed. It's just so ridiculous. Great call to end the show. I mean, what do you need to know? Joe Biden is like top 3 Democrat candidate, can't keep his hands off children, literally hits on 11-year-old girls, brags about bouncing children up and down on his lap in the pool while they play with his legs. His son is sadly, a known crackhead, a known womanizer. I mean, this is Joe Biden, and this is what the Democrats want. Yeah. You stay classy, Info Warriors.